This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
The group let the character drift in the water for the rest of the day to see if they could find Big's frog.
See, I read it as le boat.
Le boat.
Le boat.
They let the boat drift on the water for the rest of the day.
I don't know. Thank you, Count Dracula.
With the fail, and the sky was beginning to turn dark, they decided to rest on the nearby land that they found.
I want to suck your cum!
The literary world is filled with thousands of brilliant tomes, undiscovered jewels of knowledge and insight, ethereal texts of beauty and heartbreak, bearing the soul of the human condition. These works are just waiting, begging to be told. The stories herein, however, are not those kinds of works. Tonight, prepare yourself to witness a battle of the ages. In this corner, the men and women known only as Nighthorse. With their combined intellectual weight and steadfastness, they steel themselves for the slaughter to come. And in this corner, from the dark dredges of the internet, the worst of the worst kind of literary abortion, fan fiction. Bad fan fiction. Fan fiction so terrible that to even approach it is to go mad. The battleground, dramatic reading. The weapons, alcohol. Inebriating substances which, when our readers make mistakes and fumbles in their recitation, will be imbibed in order to preserve their mental stability. The winner is determined by who falls first, the selection of fan fiction or a member of Nighthorse. This is Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Marco Polo, Super Mario, Streets of Sonic the Hedgehog, Daytona, Air Force UN Squadron, Ninja Turtles 5, EX Edition.
Okay, what about Split Banana?
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I was going to say Donkey Kong or Bananas in Pajamas.
This is Friday Night Fan Fiction.
You guys are being way too logical. That one was X-Men and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, the buzzer.
Oh, great, it worked. I've got to find that more perfectly.
It's just Friday Night Fan Fiction. We have a slimmed down cast tonight. David's ignoring my calls. Logan's ignoring my life. Val's still here. Roy's still here.
I'm ignoring what Steve-O's saying on the microphone because it's all about me.
Cyril's here. Beth is here.
And soon, hey guys.
And soon Tony will be here. We're trying to keep it a little bit more slim and trim than previous weeks so that we can have a little bit more breathing room, allow guests to contribute if they haven't been on a lot lately.
Slim down and sexy.
Yes. I'm gonna lose those 37 baby pounds before I hit the beach this summer. And unfortunately, the beach will be there, but I will be sad because we will be finished Sonic and the Search for Love and my body will never be able to recover.
Oh yeah, by the way, we're still reading Sonic and the Search for Love.
Woo!
Kill me.
Whoa.
Just kill me.
Beth will be reading first tonight.
Hello, my young friend. I see you're finally awake from your long nap, says the mysterious person. What do you want, and why are you holding me captive, asked Krez. Why you ask? Simply, you got too close to what's going on here. You're not leaving here anytime soon because all the clues to find you are destroyed. If I let you go, you're going to tell the police and your friends, ask what happened here. It's so hard to read this.
I know, just gotta keep pushing.
I don't want anyone to know what's going on till too late, says the mysterious person. Damn you, I'm going to make you pay for this eventually, says Krez. We will see about that, says the mysterious person. The mysterious person begins to walk away from Krez and is laughing on the way.
I'm sorry. Wait. No, I got this.
Steve, I fucking hate you.
Krez's arm auto-locks back into place and can't move at all. Krez can only sit there and suffer till he can figure a way out of this.
How does his arm do that?
Okay, So, I haven't been on in a while, but my my idea about this is that it's a fanfic about Sonic, and yet we have Krez, Edward, later on we've got Edna. Who the fuck are these people?
They got really into Twilight.
Whose name is quite clearly Mysterious Person.
I was ready to drink booze and make lots of stupid comments.
Nothing's stopping you.
Back at Edward's house, they all sit down and have one last lunch together before the group splits up to go their separate ways this afternoon. They all share stories of what has happened before they all met. After lunch is over, Sonic heads up to Eggman's room and grabs all his stuff.
Wait.
One more. Edward's room.
Say that again. And it's not just Edward's room, it's Edward's apostrophe S. He put one in.
Oh my god.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Drink for that. Drink for an apostrophe S.
And sees all three of them ready to go. Sonic gets ready and they all head out the door. They say their goodbyes and head in the opposite direction.
In opposite direction. Oh, wait. Where's the air horn? Val, are you doing this? Or
Sonic with backpack and Laura with her backpack talk about what yiffing positions they wanted to when they get to Sonic Master's place.
Oh.
After 30 minutes or so, they arrive at Sonic Master's place. Laura knocks on the door, and Arena answers the door. They head inside and sight on the couch.
Who are these people?
He's discovered the power of the apostrophe S, and it's terrifying.
With Edward and Edna. Edward, you said you're going to get me ice cream, and we've passed three places on the way. Did you forget something? Did you forget or something? Asks Edna. Edward has his mind on his precious Laura and what those two are doing. Edna notices this, slaps Edward's ass. Did you say something, Edna? Asks Edward. Yeah, I did.
You're
still getting me ice cream, right? Asks Edna. Yeah, I am. And they're a place close to the train station, so the ice cream won't melt on the way. It really warm out anyway, and I'm going to get some for myself anyway, says Edward.
You eat ice cream. That's how it doesn't melt.
What kind? Asks Edna. Super kid and you, asks Edward. That's so like you, Edward. You always get the same kind when we get ice cream. I'm going to get something different if they have it, which is Reese's ice cream, says Edna. I might get that instead because I like recesses.
I like parts of the wall that are slightly indented.
I like judicial recesses. Gives me a break.
You're going to get something new. Well, that is shocker, says Edna.
Oh my god.
All right, up next is me, actually.
Oh.
Oh no.
They continue on their walk and head into the Baskin Robbins that right near the train station. They order their
ice. This episode of Friday Night Fan Fiction brought to you by Baskin Robbins.
Oh, are we going to do the AGDQ style product placement and ads every 15 minutes?
No.
Oh, but we can try. Oh, wait, there's more ads in this. They order their ice cream.
Just every time the fan fiction mentions
it. And Edward pays for it. They sit down on the chairs facing the window. They take their and eat the Reese's.
Eat ice cream.
Nightmare fuel of an island filled with confectionery candy that eats human beings.
Oh, that's the stuff. That's just the stuff.
I eat ice cream because they have an hour to spar.
Why would you eat ice cream before you sparred? That's the worst.
I ate ice cream after I sparred, but also after it was on my crotch because somebody hit me in the groin.
Ow.
They didn't have any ice available, so they gave me $1 to go get one of those ice cream sandwiches. Just hold it against my swollen and battered testicles.
Ew.
After 45 minutes, they finish their ice cream and throw their garbage away. They head out of the Baskin-Robbins and across to the train station to meet their guest. Meat spelled like the meat.
No, they're having for dinner. Guests.
And there and as sounds in like over
a,
there.
Yes.
Sounds like a B-movie dedicated to cannibals.
I would like to meet you over there, guests. Tony.
Ooh.
They walk down the stairs and take a couple of minutes
and takes.
God damn! And takes a couple of minutes to get themselves ready for their guest to show up. They see the train pull up, and their guest walks out of the train to meet them. Back at Sonic Master's place. Again, an apostrophe.
Meanwhile.
You sure you three still want to do this, asks Master. No. Yeah, we're sure, and we wouldn't be here today. I thought I said or we.
And the sentence structure of, like, most pieces of dialogue in this story are... opening comment and secondary comment.
Yep.
And the vault is finally breaking out of that, it seems.
Yeah, we're sure, or we wouldn't be here today, says Lara. We wouldn't be able to find anything.
We won't. No, we didn't.
What the hell?
What the fuck?
Stop being so correct.
I would say you're out of practice, but I haven't been here long enough to be able to say that.
We won't be able to find anything to help Krez out till school starts anyway, says Sonic. I guess you're right, because someone must know something to help us find Krez, says Irina.
Irina.
Yeah, let's hope someone knows something, says Master. Let's do this for all the marbles, says Sonic.
What?
Yeah, let's, says Master.
Oh boy, I didn't miss the showdown.
Sean says, hello everybody, cheering from the sidelines.
Hello.
We have a cheerleader.
Sean.
He's so
Yay.
Sexy. The girls begin to laugh. Why the hell is laugh capitalized?
Because it's the noun. Laugh is actually a friend of theirs that they're Drink. Fucking during the course of this.
Ah.
The girls begin to laugh a little and start to make out. The two guys
just somehow worse than what I just said.
The two guys get undressed and have the cocks standing at attention. Sir, yes, sir.
See, he saluted to the cocks and the cock and dismissed the cocks. The cocks.
I'm glad I'm not the only person. Not the only person who can just say cock, be at attention, and just there, it's done.
Ta-da!
You gotta flex a few
cocks,
times.
Stand at ease. Stand easy. You're okay.
I don't think cocks can stand easy. Cocks cannot stand easy. They move up closer to the girls. The girls stare right at their cocks with their mouths open and let their cocks slide right in. They
Wait.
They don't have any teeth and their mouths were like...
I just picture the girls as like what's behind a Dementor. Like just like open hole.
I saw the happiness out of that penis.
They start sucking them while the girls play with each other pussies. The guys come in their mouths.
That was
and the girls drink it all down. The girls get up and get undressed. What? I thought what? We were at the end of this.
Nope. We're just beginning.
They're pussies.
No, it was the guys. The guys have gotten undressed in
that
time.
That was just
the
pre-sex blowjob.
Oh.
How are they playing with each other pussies when they were dressed, though?
Through the cloth.
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, then we have a lot of physics questions in here. Their pussy juices start coming out. I mean, that's totally how vaginas work.
Yep. Sploosh.
The guys lie down on the ground and let the girls come closer. The girls start to caress each other boobs on the way over to their men for today.
So, their men, okay.
Wait, they're crawling up toward the guys, and they're just like one hand, like I'm assuming the right hand respect and the left hand respectively, just across each other's other arms.
You know that monster from The Grudge? They're crawling like that. They're kind of just like, it's like stumbling forward on like
the shorts. The girls sit down and helps their cocks slide right into them. The girls start thrusting on their cocks slowly at first. And
how do they do that?
And generally go faster.
Oh, this is the slip and slide version of the vagina.
6 hours, 6 minutes, and 6 seconds later.
Seriously?
It's because I'm gothic, you guys.
They all lay exhausted on the floor and have no energy to move.
Where's my Iron Maiden?
That was the long yiffing session I've ever had, says Lara. Same here, says Irina. I'm glad I brought my school clothes for tomorrow because I'm not getting up, says Lara. They all nod their heads in agreement. All of them stay on the floor that night and fall asleep.
No shower.
Hooray!
They all wake up with incredibly sore muscles and were completely
fucked. At least one of them has drowned in the excessive amount of private juices that have expelled
and
this day.
There's probably some mold.
One of them's drowned in juices. The other one has died from like dehydration.
Thursday, the first day of school.
One of them is
oddly nutritious?
Yes.
Thursday, dawn of the first day.
It was a nutritious death.
This fanfic makes words not work in my head.
Yeah, I know. All four of them get ready and set out to St. Lovejoy's to begin this school year. They notice a lot of people already there getting back to their daily routine at school. They see Edward standing by himself underneath a tree. They all head over to where Edward was standing. Tony, take it after the asterisk.
Hi all, and how did it go yesterday? Asks Edward. Let's just say for now, we didn't have any energy to get up afterwards.
Let's just say we had lots of frantic sex, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Like the Tohu Magfest orgy.
I'll explain what happened tonight, says Laura. All right, I can wait till then. And Laura, you want to repeat tradition from last year? Asks Edward. That sound fun, to repeat the day we first met, and I'll meet you there after first class, says Laura. Just like old times, says Edward. Who is this guest of yours, asks Sonic. We should be here, but she must be trying to make some new friends, Edward.
One more time.
Good for her, says Sonic.
You made a mistake.
All right. She should be here, but she must be trying to make some new friends. Who is
she
this
must
guest?
Trying.
She was trying. She must trying. She must trying. Hold on a second. Good for her, says Sonic. The bell rings and they all head to their class to begin their first day of school for the year. The class by slowly with orientation of what they were where.
It's the right word.
That's where
they were.
Going to be learning throughout the year. The class bell rang and everyone hurried out of class. Edward sees Laura going into the women washroom and heads in a couple minutes after her.
Dude, no!
This is the thing. This is them repeating the day that they first met. Because the day they first met, Edward accidentally went into the bathroom. And then went into the stall and saw her, and then they ended up, she sucked him off.
This is fucking Twilight. This is the plot of Twilight.
This is slightly different because...
I'm pretty sure Twilight actually used this as a script.
There's a good chance of that, but this is slightly different because it's just not a women's washroom, which is, a bathroom. This is the women washroom.
Oh.
Where you wash women.
So, I've read enough hentai to know about that. All right, continue.
5 minutes have passed since Edward went into the women washroom. The master and Irina were talking about last night. The master looks behind him and sees, apostrophe for some reason, the girl that looks like Sally. Sally comes towards the master and punches him and storms back off.
So, is this a Doctor Who fan fiction too?
No.
Wrong master. This is the Sonic master.
Oh, sorry.
He's
been to
so many fast.
The Sonic master knows everything about Sonic and wrote the script to Sonic and the Secret Rings.
Ah.
A game that single-handedly brought Sonic back from the brink of extension.
Oh.
Yes, extension.
Okay. I apologize. I'm fairly new to this apparently. So.
No, that's all right. We're catching you up.
This isn't like your first time having sex where it's slow and sensual, Cyril. This is going in dry in the second hole.
And with a second dildo, I can see that. But however,
do you know her?
To ask questions.
Know her? Asks Irina. No, I don't, but that looks like Sally. I bet I got hit because she thinks I'm Sonic and I'm cheating on her, says Master.
Because the Sonic Master also looks exactly like Sonic, because this was written by the Sonic Master, and the Sonic Master wants to look like Sonic.
I think you should go find Sonic, says Irina. Yeah, I'll go right now, says That's going to continue. I hope you realize that. The master takes a look around the school and sees, apostrophe again, for some reason, Sonic talking to the cheerleaders.
And sees
Sonic talking to the cheerleaders. I walk up to Sonic and tap him on the shoulder.
Oh, by the way,
and gentlemen, but me and my friend here have some important, something very important to discuss, says Master. That fine, we'll catch up later, says Amanda. The cheerleaders walk off towards the gym. How did you get a black eye? Asks Sonic. Your girlfriend Sally is alive and she hit me in the eye. She thinks I'm you because I was talking to Irina at the time. You should really talk to her about this, says Master. I will, and do you know where she is? Asks Sonic. No idea, but wait till lunch because I'm sure you will spot her then, says Master. Okay, I will wait till then, says Sonic. Is that... paragraph needed to happen.
Apparently.
The bell rings and they head off to their next class. This class was the exact same as the previous class, and it went by even slower than the first one.
This curriculum is terrible.
Why would you take the same class twice?
This curriculum is, the curriculum in the story is by far not the worst thing in the damn story. So
Hold on. Sonic Master, can you please spell curriculum?
C-U-R-R-I-Q-L-U-M-K-X-Y-Z-L-A-N-O-P.
Correct.
Curriculum.
No.
Did you use it in a sentence, please?
No. I'm just going to say
I tickled her in her curriculum. And her juices flowed.
Flowed.
Flowed. The bell ring and the students run to the cafeteria. The hedgehogs meet outside the cafe, weirdly using an affected E the proper way, and walk in at the exact same time. All the students look at them and thought they were seeing double.
No, they got stuck in the doorframe like the Three Stooges.
My spines! My spine! They get their food and sit down at the table with all the cheerleaders. They spent their lunch
No. We get our food and then we sit down at the table with all the cheerleaders.
They spend their lunch talking to the cheerleaders and have a lookout for Sally, but she never shows up at the cafe. The rest of the school day was pretty much...
I am concerning my dog. I should stop this.
They couldn't find Sally anywhere. The two hedgehogs head back home with Arena and couldn't find out anything new. They were so bored from their first day... They fell asleep on the couch watching TV. A clue came across the screen, but no one awake to read it.
Dun, 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 dun.
They slept like babies on the couch for the rest of the day. To be continued.
So, this,
ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of chapter 5. Yay! We climbed this mountain.
Yay!
Yay!
I bet they're gonna restart it.
Okay, I lied last week. It doesn't restart after chapter 5.
We so wait, is this the first time 6. That we've reached chapter 6?
Yes.
Yes.
First time we've
finally
ever
get to know what happens?
We finally do not know what's going on. It's very weird. It's a, we're in a strange and surreal place.
We did get to chapter 5 last time.
Yes,
but
we never finished. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, Roy, you're up next. And I just wanted to say, from the way this is being written, it's like... 20% going to school, 30% horrific things happening to people, 25% sleeping, and 25% sex.
Only 25%?
And 10% mathematics classes.
Yes.
I'm just going to go with 18.
Okay. 42.
25.
I'm going to go with false.
Pat Buchanan.
That works too.
Roy, you're up.
I really like to know what you all thought of this chapter. Please give your honest opinion.
Honest opinion, everyone. 3, 2, 1, go.
There will be no Christmas this year, and you will not get a second bowl of porridge.
Also, please answer the question I left in my previous post.
No!
No.
We don't even know what that is.
I don't care!
No!
This killed me. I'm dead.
Alright. Chapter 6. The following take place Thursday night right after the events in Chapter 5.
Oh, thank you.
During the night, Krez was left alone with no more food or water would be given to him. Krez begins to sweat nervously and begins to... shake.
Yes.
Not only is sweetie constantly written as sweaty, but sweat actually is also written as sweet. So this...
It's actually, he's just sweating like nectar.
Yeah.
His pores.
I want him as a boyfriend.
It's ambrosia.
You're so sweet.
Does that mean that every candy bar in this world is somehow saltier than one might expect? And also chips?
Off in the distance, footsteps could be heard coming toward him. The lights didn't go out this time, and a figure could be seen in the distance. The person began coming closer in a hurry. Once the figure came close enough, Krez could make out who it is. Hands up, anyone who actually knows who this character is. Nova. Answer is no one knows who that is.
Isn't that
it means does not from... move, actually. Nova.
North Virginia.
Kirby Superstar.
No Veterans Affairs.
Nova running at Virginia?
Krez. Nova Science Now.
Nova running at Krez with her D cup breasts, cool. While shapely, beautiful, bouncing up and down.
Just the image of her running at him with her D cup breasts is like, I've got beans for you!
Oh, so she's running on her breasts. Oh, no, but it says bouncing up and down, so it's like a space hopper. So she's bouncing on her breasts towards him.
All I can imagine right now is for anyone who's playing Knights, there's this giant opera singer.
No!
I can't imagine.
Do not ruin Puppy for me!
Yep. Instead of like the body being like a giant like bounce balloon, it's she's using her breasts.
Also, I have to read a comment that was left on our Facebook real fast from Mr. Michael Johnson. You know, I think we're all can agree that that characters in Sonic and the Search for Love, all the characters have really no dimensions except just sex, and all it is just sex. They have no real likable traits. That's basically cardboard, and people claim that with most series. At least those series are written by professional, and how we view their writing in the, is their opinion. Here, it's obvious from my writing standpoint, just a moron sexual dreams with furries that have no real descriptions to them. Do we even know what most of them really look like?
Do we know even?
And where is this Search for Love where all these subplots that go really nowhere? In short, it sucks.
Best response.
To be fair, I need to point out, it is actually really, really, really accurate to call this a Search for Love because I've been looking for it and I haven't found it fucking anywhere.
So would you like to say that you still haven't found what you're looking for, Edge?
Still haven't found what I'm looking for.
And that's when you take it easy to the person
who's still
haven't found
Splooge on in the name of cum.
You know what? I'm tempted to read the entire chapter part I read in that melody.
All right.
Go ahead, Roy. Sorry.
Nova begins to run her slower and spills some water on her white see-through shirt.
What?
She really just went. She ran slowly and just spilled some water so that she could just be as cliche as possible. Oh no, my big breasts in my white shirt. I got wet. Oh no, you can see right through them. Oh, I'm running super slowly.
Oh no.
And I
Krez just starts at her while she comes towards him. Nova manages to get to while she was all wet. Nova, how did you find me? Asks Krez nervously while sweat pouring down his face. I followed you here, and I couldn't make out who it was that captured you. I didn't see anyone in the building except for you. Let me get you out of here, says Nova, while her hands were shaking uncontrollably. Just get me out of here as fast as you can before whoever it is comes back and finds you here, says Krez, axially?
Axially?
Axially. So it like depends on which axis it is. If it's Y, which most everything in this fic is Y.
Y. Yep.
Just get me out of here as fast as you can before whoever it is comes back and finds you here, says Krez along the y-axis. Alright, I'll do my best, says Nova. Alright, I'll do my best, says Nova, while fidgeting for something to undo the chains. Nova gets her small metal cutter out of her pocket, and the lights begin to go off one row at a time.
Oh,
someone else was turning on the lights off. No, it's that underwater music.
Oh, I see what's happening. Okay. I can actually envision this. This is a first for me in this fan fiction, because previously it's just kind of abstract.
Wait, your imagination still works? I forgot what that's like.
Mine ran away.
You've been doing this for too long, Steve.
Your imagination works? Let us join you in a world of pure imagination.
Wow.
We've already done that musical interlude.
The darkness slowly comes closer and closer towards them, and Nova works even more frantically frantically than before. Run, Nova, run before that person captures you too, says Krez.
The Academy Award nominated indie movie from Germany, Run, Nova, Run.
Roy, could you say that one more time for me?
Run, Nova, run before
No, that's
person-
it. That's all I need. I'm just going to loop that and put it under like a techno beat because I think that's perfect. Run, Nova, run.
Do it.
Go ahead.
Says Krez frantically. I won't leave you, says Nova in a very deep, concerning voice. I won't leave you.
You must hold on, Rose.
I know. I know. It's like the in the key of Old Man River.
I won't leave you. Oh, I won't leave you.
Oh,
I'll keep on cutting.
Great.
Concerning voice.
Keep reading. I have something to say at the end of this chapter.
Oh, God.
All right. Says Nova in a very deep, concerning voice. Just go and save yourself before you get captured too, says Krez in a panic. I'll be back, says Nova, and gives Krez a kiss on the lips. Nova begins to make a run for it, and all the lights go out in the room at once. Nova just manages to make it to the door, and someone grabs her very tightly. Nova manages to let out one scream before one hand covers her mouth. Krez begins to worry that something very bad is happening to her, and couldn't do anything to help her.
Wrong.
But
something wait, bad what? Has happened to Nova. You read it wrongly. Oh, wait, no, you didn't. I was on the wrong line.
Now, you have to drink.
I need another beer.
Also, Val is the ref. Footsteps began to walk closer to Krez. The footsteps walked closer to Krez and hopes nothing bad has happened to Nova. The footsteps were both walking to Krez and hoping that nothing bad happened to Nova.
Correct.
They're really emotive footsteps.
Footsteps?
The footsteps.
The footsteps stopped and some movement could be heard of animals nearby. After a few minutes, two lights came back on, and Krez could see Nova in the same situation he's in.
Okay, so y'all remember that really emotional scene in Titanic where Jack is telling Rose that she needs to survive, and then he passes away and she lets go?
Yep.
No.
As he descends to the icy depths, I just imagine now in my head, but you didn't have to cut me out!
I never thought of that scene as, like...
emotional?
No, I would always laugh my head off.
That was this vine of this, like, guy doing, like, a cold Hispanic Titanic, where it's like, yeah, he's that full off, and she just goes, I'll never let go, and he just goes, listen, stupid, I'm about to die. They just, like, reach him for a kiss, and then he just shoves her off into the water, and he gets up himself.
Cyril, you're next.
Nova. Are you all right? Asks Krez frantically. This is going to be... Nova doesn't respond with her head bent over and her eyes closed. Nova says Krez screaming at his loudest.
She Nova!
That was perfect.
Nova! She can't hear you right now, Simple, because she's knocked out cold. Now this gives us some time to talk, says the person calmly.
Are you saying this slowly because you don't want to screw up, or are you saying it for emotional impact?
Yes.
I'm method acting. It involves a surprising amount of alcohol. What do you want from us? Asked Krez nervously. Krez. His name's Krez now. I don't want anything from her, but it you who I want because of you did to me, says the person while pointing at Krez.
Check out my new website, Krezlist.
Guys, I could use some little sugar candies. Anybody got any Krez?
What did I do to you? Asked Krez again in confusion. What did I do to you and think I did something to you besides this?
What?
That kind of makes sense in a weird way.
Why did I get all the word salad sentences? This is 10 times worse than what we just
let
up to.
We have all paid our dues.
I guess so. This makes me want to laugh, and you two are going to share your food because of her interference, says the person. What did I do and let her go? Because she has nothing to do with this, says Krez in a suite. I can't do that because she will just get some help and... I can't do that because she will just get some help to rescue you. What? This is awful. Okay. Drinking makes this easier, I swear. Wait, okay.
And harder.
What you did to me has reduced me to this, and I'll tell you why, says the person. All right, I'm listening, and I can't go anywhere, says Krez, while trying to yank on the chains to break them. Let me turn on the lights to show you who I am, and you'll let me turn on the lights to show you who I am, then you'll understand what hell you've put me through, says the person. All right, show me who you are, because the suspense is killing me, says Krez, patently waiting for the lights to come on. Now you shall see who I am, says the person while pressing a switch to turn the lights on.
Did Mojo Jojo write this shit?
Now I shall show you who I am.
This requires so much focus.
At the time the lights come on,
focus.
You shall see who I am, because the lights will illuminate the face that is mine, and you shall see who I am when the lights come on, which is going to happen as soon as I flip the switch.
Brain bucket!
And there was nothing there at all.
That's better. Now I can see you, and I thought you were dead, says Krez in shock. Yes, it is I, your arch rival. A large crash could be heard.
No, a loud. I said large.
Did I say large? See, this is worse because I already mistake words in my normal speech patterns, so it's just compounding it.
A loud crash could be heard nearby. What was that noise?
What was that noise? Asked the person. Well, turning the lights back off. Why was there a period?
That's a separate sentence. While turning the lights back off.
Meanwhile, it's a new character. It's the character's name is While, and he's turning the lights back off.
Meanwhile, outside of where Krez is.
Meanwhile.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. There's no period there. Meanwhile, outside of where Krez is, Rodriguez and his buddy Rob are taking their anger out at the building because they are getting tired of getting beaten up. Rob manages to throw a rock right at the window and causes it to break. They are happy that Rob broke the window.
Hooray, Rob!
The door slid open and a person comes out holding something in their hand while wearing a cloak.
That person keeps coming closer and they couldn't make out what was in their hand.
Who threw that rock and broke the window to my home? Asks the person in anger. No one answers the question because they were scared what hidden in their arm.
No, because...
What? Oh, God. Yeah. No one answers the question because they're scared what hidden in their arm. I ask again who threw the rock and broke the window to my home, asks the person in anger while pulling out a sludgehammer. Now, wait a second.
My brain just broke. Did you hear that?
That sounds like a Pokemon move. Muck, use sludgehammer.
Sure it was super effective.
It was me. I broke the window and don't hurt me, says Rob on his knees, begging for his life.
Please do metal voice for everything.
I claim to fame. Went back to weak voice right when he said, and don't hurt me.
That was the bridge.
It was me, broke the window, and don't hurt me, says Rob.
Hey, remember when you tried to read My Immortal in metal voice and you failed after like 3 sentences?
That went amazingly.
No, for 3 sentences.
I won't hurt you much. And who are you? Ask a person while pointing at Rodriguez.
Wait a minute, wasn't it Rodriguez?
It is Rodriguez, according to Logan.
I have a boss with that last name.
Can you read now? I have to go pee.
Keep your mic turned on.
My name, Rodriguez, and what do you want from me? Asked Rodriguez while tears are coming down his face. Do you know a certain skunk cat hybrid named Scotty? Asked the person while still pointing at Rodriguez. Yes, I do, and what do you want with him? Asked Rodriguez in confusion. Since he broke my window and you look like you're in charge of this friend of yours, you're going to get him for me, and it saves me some work. Just tell him I have his sister, and if he wants, apostrophe there for some reason,
he wanted
to see her again. Yes, that's where the sentence ends. You must bring him here unarmed, or your friend will get it, says the person while having the sledgehammer.
Sludge hammer
against Rob's ear.
Ugh. I will smack him in the face with this sledgehammer. It'll be super effective, bitch.
Hey, at least it's consistent.
Yeah. All right, just don't hurt him, says Rodriguez, while his voice was trembling. Oh, wait. All right, just don't hurt him. Or something like that. If you don't get back here in an hour, you will never see him again, and I'm going to use the hammer and bust your friend's head open into the cerement, says the person.
So, do sledgehammers only work on cerement? Is that what I'm getting from this?
As it turns out, yes.
Oh, okay.
Man, these new Pokemon types are really weird.
Yeah. Rodriguez starts to run as soon as he hears that. The person grabs Rob with their one free hand and drags him into the building. After they get in, the person ties Rob up and kicks the chair over. Rob hits his head off the floor and begins to cry a lot while he's trying to get out of the chair. Looks like we will be having a guest soon, and I know you now, him, says the person. Who is it, and just tell me what you want, asks Graz impatiently. In due time, and if Rodriguez doesn't get back here in 55 minutes, those two will die, says the person, and begins to laugh.
Ha 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 Can I go down now? Maybe? Is that a thing?
Hold on.
You're one sick bastard, you know, that says Krez in anger. Yes. What if I am and there are nothing you can do about it? Just sit and wait. As if he could do anything else. Get it, sit and wait. I crack myself up sometimes, says the person, and begins to laugh.
I'm not doing that again. That hurts too much. No, hang on.
Now, imagine them, they just like literally go, ha ha, and that's their laugh. That's
laugh.
It.
Laugh, lol. Laugh.
Oh, that sounds like Microsoft Sam.
Okay. The person begins to walk away from Krez and goes to get something in the darkness. There was some noise that could be heard, but Krez and Rob couldn't see what it was. Rob began to shack violently, and sweat was bearing down from his forehead and wondering what the person, what that person was doing.
Violent shack, baby, violent shack.
Jack, the violent shack is a literal place where you will bash his head in.
I hate shack, you baby. So much. Hate violent you, shack, Tony. Baby.
The person comes back with a watermelon and places it right beside Rob's head. Let me show you what's going to happen to you if your friend doesn't come back in time with Scotty, says the person, while lifting up the sludge hammer.
Oh no, I know who this is.
Oh God, don't kill me. I won't tell anyone about this, says Rob, pleading for his life. The person swings the sludge hammer down and lands on Rob's right hand. Oh fuck, that hurts, says Rob, screaming in pain.
Oh fuck, that hurts!
Look like I miss, says the person while giggling.
Oh no, I imagine laughing as like Roxo.
I get the idea, just don't hurt me again, says Rob while crying. It too late for that, says the person. The sludge hammer goes back up and comes back down at an alarming speed. Beep, beep, beep. No. Rob, too scared to watch, and closes his eyes and reflects back on his life.
Oh, I get it. An alarming speed. That was terrible.
Thank you.
I do like that he picked a different metaphor than life flashing before his eyes. However, reflecting back on one's life does kind of, you ever think back to the days when we were children back on the plains of Iowa?
Pepperidge Farm, remember?
An entire movie happens in sentences in this novel of English.
Let's just face it, this is what the English language is based upon. This is our Rosetta Stone.
This is what actually happens when you put 1,000 monkeys on typewriters.
And make them watch Sonic Sat AM.
No, somehow they just came up with this irregardless.
Don't say irregardless, it's not a goddamn word.
Irregardless
is. Rob, too scared to watch, and closes his eyes and reflects back on his life. A loud squishing noise could be heard, and Rob opens his eyes with a sigh of relief. The person steeps on the watermelon and walks over to Krez.
Don't you see?
I love that watermelon.
It's obvious. It's Carrot Top or some other horrible prop comedian.
Carrot Top turns so freaking, like, freakish.
He actually lives in Winter Park. He's got a house down here in Florida.
Up next is Beth. Hey, we're actually on time tonight. We're doing good.
There's nothing good about this.
Enjoy it. Will it last?
Enjoy it. Will it last? It your last meal, says the person. You based red. You
bastard.
Killed. No, I said based red. That's what it is. You could have killed him, says Krez in rage. That was the point. And if ever interrupt me from doing whatever it is I'm doing.
So clear.
I'm going to come over here, says the person. And do what? Asks Krez in curiosity.
And do what? Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please.
I'm going to cut off one of your ears and feed it to you.
Delicious.
I'm also going to stand and watch you eat it and masturbate while you eat it.
Understanding,
don't we? Asks the person. Yes, we do, says Creswell in shock and is scared as hell at the moment. Good, and he only has 45 minutes left, says the person.
One of our chat people, Sean, says the mystery person is Gallagher, so now I'm just imagining Krez pulling out a gigantic watermelon.
To hit with the sledgehammer.
Exactly.
Sludgehammer.
Sludgy watermelon. Rodriguez is with 45 minutes left.
Meanwhile,
got to find Scotty or else Rob going to die. I hope he's at home, and if he isn't, he's dead. Please be home, says Rodriguez while running frantically towards Scott House. Rodriguez is still 15 minutes away.
But Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know. Don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know. Meanwhile, at the cat's house, Cyrus DeMore and Scott are sitting there in the living room watching old Hulk movies of Scott.
Okay, Mom. That's hilarious. Here we have Cyrus DeMore and Scott.
They were crying.
Scotty do.
They were crying at how much they missed her. Cyrus begins talking over the movie about what was happening at that time and how he met his wife. This went on for 15 minutes, and they were both in tears.
You see,
from
we met in
the
Walmart parking lot, and she saw my Get Her Done bumper sticker. She really liked
it. So, I have a tip. If you listen to some really extreme black metal, it really actually adds a lot to the things that Beth is describing. Just put it on in the background. It'll improve this.
Give me an OC remix with black metal and I'll do it.
A knock came at the door and Scott gets up slowly from the couch. I'll get it, Dad, says Scotty while still really upset. All right, I'll be here with my thoughts, says Cyrus while crying. The knock comes again at the door. Hold on, I'm coming, at the door, says Scott while he's depressed.
At the door.
Scott walks up to the door and begins to turn the handle. The door swings open with Rodriguez pushing it open as fast as he can. Rodriguez, what do you want? And how did you find out where I live? Asks Scotty while surprised to see Rodriguez at his house. Come with me now, or else your sister Nova going to die, says Rodriguez while panting, trying to catch his breath. My sister, what did you do to her? Asks Scotty in shock. Nothing, someone has her, and if you don't come now, she's dead. We're running out of time. I have less than 30 minutes to get back, or me and you are going to lose someone close to us, says Rodriguez in a hurry. All right, I'm coming. Let's go, says Scott while grabbing his coat.
Because it was cold out and he didn't want to...
They begin to run as fast as they can in order to save their loved ones. After 29 minutes and 30 seconds, exactly, they reach the same building and time's running out on them. They run and open the door just in time to see the sludgehammer go down on Rob's head. Ew. Everyone is in shock to see that happened and are scared for their lives. The person possessively turn around to sees that they have showed up. Rodriguez starts charging at the person as fast as he can. You basted for killing my only friend, and now I'm going to kill you, says Rodriguez in rage while still charging at the person. Will you ever learn? I guess not.
This must be a really long room for him to get all that out while charging at a person.
He just says it really, really fast.
Will you ever learn? I guess not, says the person. The person holds the sledgehammer in batting position while waiting for Rodriguez to come closer. It's so hard to say this name wrong. Rodriguez continues to run right at the person, and the person swings the sledgehammer. The sledgehammer belts Rodriguez right in the stomach and sends him right to the ground.
Right. It really is a sledgehammer. And that's right at the end of your section, and that's right at the end of wherever the hell we are. Okay. Don't worry, he's not dead, but when he wakes up, his ribs will be broken, says the person.
Damn it. So they're not broken now,
and
just when
and
he...
not before.
Says the person in laughter, don't worry, he's not dead, but when he wakes up, his ribs will be broken.
Or it's the Joker knockoff.
That was mildly disturbing. What do you want with me and my sister, asks Scott while on his knees. Do I have to... Nope, I'm not revising anymore. I bet you're wondering how your mother died, because I know how. I was there when it happened and enjoyed every minute of it, says the person.
Say it.
It was just distant enough to have the perfect weight.
Yep.
I wish the rest of the show could just be the air horn, because I think that would be better than this.
So let's have a musical interlude of air horn.
Oh man, I'm listening to Sludgehammer. And Sludgehammer is really doing a good job too. This is a good find. So I was listening to Sledgehammer while you were playing that, and it fit.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think anymore.
Wait, as in like the Peter Gabriel song?
No, there's a band called Sledgehammer, like a black metal band or something.
Well, never mind then. Tell me why did you do it, asks Scotty, while on his knees and crying even more than he was. It all began on the Sunday, and it was the day before your mother's death. Eggman and I first were nice to her, but your mother wasn't cooperating with our plan. We went to the extreme
not a plane.
We tortured her so much that she began to bleed tears, but she wouldn't break. On the day of her death, we gave her one last chance for her to come to our side, but she wouldn't budge. I injected her with a deadly poison. She died very painfully. Why is this funny?
Can we rewind back to the part where she bled tears?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'm imagining,
we tortured her so much that she began to bleed tears, but she wouldn't break. We good there?
Yes, so water came out of her womb.
Get to her dying wish.
Her last words were, Scotty, live a long, happy life. Nova, I hope you find the mane of your dreams. And have lots of children. No, is it like the water main?
Oh.
Then she passed away, and then we stashed her body at the park, says the person.
Just stashed it. Like,
just let just Nova stashed go.
It. Stashed it in their mouth.
Why did she say those final words as if she expected her children to ever hear them?
Just let Nova go.
Hey, I know you're super evil, but could you pass this message on to my children? Scotty, live a long, happy life, and Nova, find that water main before it leaves.
I assure you, this is the last MAME soundboard thing I'm going to do, but this is how I imagine Scotty's crying right now. I'm sorry that I'm not sorry. Just let Nova go, and we will never tell anyone about this, says Scott, begging for his sister's release. Why let you two go when the party just started, says the person with an evil laugh. All Scott-
no, again, Dr. Evil's laugh.
All Scott could do was stand there in shock because he couldn't quite...
Yes.
He couldn't leave Northern Virginia with this person in case something happened to her. Scott wouldn't forgive himself if he left Northern Virginia now. Come here and
still not the stupidest name that someone's come up with for a person.
Come here and sit down beside your sister, says the person while pointing at the chair right beside Northern Virginia. Scott walks over to the chair and sits down in it. The chair auto lock around Scott
chains auto lock.
And there are apparently chains.
And there, I have apparently four monitors now. Oh boy, this isn't going to be good. The chains auto-lock around Scott, and he looks over to see Krez. What are you doing here, Krez, asks Scotty. I'm not really sure, but I like to find out, says Krez, while he's confused. Let me tell you why you are here, Krez, because I think it's time for you to know the truth, says the person. Yes, Les, because I've been wondering about that for a while, says Krez in curiosity. Now you will know the truth, because when I tell you the truth will be revealed.
Said the person.
Yes, said the person. All right.
That is not a universal pronoun, as he would like to have you believe.
All right, I'll you the truth, too, while you're here. It all began. It all began 5 years ago while Krez was always...
5 years.
Oh, yep.
5 years ago, yeah.
Years.
Years.
Fine.
This is the apostrophe.
It all began 5 years ago while Krez was always the popular one and no one paid attention to me at all.
Oh, it all began 5 years ago.
I was a loner in school and... God damn it.
Were we doing Canadian or Coach Z?
No, it's Western Canadian. I was a loner in the school and nobody knew I existed, eh? On the last day of school, I faked my own death by using these special pills that stopped my heart for 6 hours, eh?
That wouldn't.
No!
Hey, you know, after I woke up and disappeared for a while to plan my revenge against you, that's why you're here, Krez, and I know you were getting close to the truth about what happened 5 years ago. Sorry about that. I'm going to make you pay for what you did to me. In case you haven't figured it out yet, I'm going to tell you, says the person. Yes, tell me, says Krez in anxiety. All right, because you see...
thing.
I'm going to tell you all about who I am, and you will know finally who I am when you see who I am, because I will tell you who I am.
I picture this guy, the author, in front of his keyboard, like, people are going to be just soaking up this mystery, man. Nobody's going to have any idea who this guy is, man. It's going to be great, and they're going to be chomping at the bit, wait, man. It's going to be fucking fantastic, wait, dude.
Didn't Krez already see who the guy was, like, a few paragraphs ago?
No. Okay, all right, let's go to the beginning of this, all right? I'm going to tell you, says the person. You tell me, says Krez in anxiety. All right, because you seem impatient and know you will finally see who I am. The person begins to lift up the hood and turns on the lights. Yes, I am. I am to be continued. I knew it!
I love this, though.
This next bit is pretty awesome.
If anyone is named Rob on here, I'm not referring to you. It's just my sweet revenge on a guy named Rob who bugged the hell out me in grade 9.
Yeah, that asshole.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Rob!
The other reason you, this Rob. Is going to be my last chapter for a while, because I've been having a lot of pain in my right shoulder and it hurts to type. I'm getting this looked because it really important. I also can't put my arm over my head or bend it all the way. It might be on to read the post, but I'm not typing anything at all. It could be a month or two before I write another chapter. I just hope it's nothing too serious, and I hope that my arm fells better soon. Bye for now. I'll be back once my arm fells better. Author note, I started writing this chapter before my arm was really bugging me and all. I actually had most of this one done too, but ran out of ideas for it. This was supposed to be up before chapter 6. Hope you all like it.
Chapter 7 was supposed to be up before chapter 6.
Time travel shit right there.
Oh no.
This is some fucking Donnie Darko shit going on.
Hey, at last we get back to some Sonic characters.
Oh. Hooray. Oh no. I think Tony's next.
That is in fact me. Chapter 7.
If you can do it when Biggs dialogue, try and do it as John St. John.
Provide me John St. John. I don't know the voice off the top of my head.
Duke Nukem.
Yeah, he's Duke.
Alrighty, I will give it a shot. Okay, here we go. Uncle Chuck, Tails, and Ben are sailing through the great river that once was a forest, and is this on their way...
this is a very white Bill Cosby.
Cartoon white Bill Cosby.
you see, Bill Cosby's a little bit more down here as well. I don't even fucking know. Here we go. They were sailing for many miles and talking about what has happened before they met each other. Uncle Chuck told Big the whole story of how they ended up on that hill before he came to rescue them. Big, oh my gosh, Kevin.
Quotation marks.
Yeah, quotate fucking and sentence structure.
So wait, his arm pain was causing him to not realize that he had quotation marks on his keyboard?
No, hold on here.
What am I holding on to, Roy?
Your penis, you know, obviously. He said he wrote this, and it was supposed to be up before chapter 6, so he did the quotations, and then went backwards to not have them for the chapter 6.
It is a strange world in which we live. Big, how did you get out of that tidal wave alive? Asks Tails. Well, I'll explain it to you so you two know what happened to me before I met you two on that hill, says Big. It all began a couple of days before that tidal wave hit. I was on my way to see my friend's house to start up our trip up north. He sent me a letter that said there were really good fishing spots up north. Come over as soon as you get this letter. It took me 2 days to walk all the way there. His place is way out on the coast. I managed to get there without any problems whatsoever. I knocked on his door, but no one answered. I let myself in because the door was unlocked.
It's a cross between Shatner and Lego Movie Batman.
I looked around for him, but all I saw was a note and a frog. I picked up the note and read it. Hello, Big. I'm sorry we couldn't go fishing together, and I've had some urgent business to take care of.
This is hurting my throat.
I'll be in Pouncefield for a week or so. I'm leaving my frog with you. Just call him Froggy and remember to feed him. All the food for him is in the bottom left-hand drawer of the cupboard. You can use the boat as much as you want while I'm gone.
It's really important detail.
Why is it always the bottom left-hand drawer?
Because the right door is for dildos. Come enjoy some fishing while you're waiting. Hope to see you soon. If anything happens while I'm gone, come to Pouncefield. You must not forget my fucking frog.
Wow.
I'll be in the Fishing Plains Hotel. My room will be on the 8th floor, room 802. That's actually surprisingly accurate that he used the 8 at the front of the room number, because that's generally indicating the floor. That's a nice attention to detail. I appreciate
plus,
that.
Plus, you know, room 802 on the third floor.
You're here to read Fic and chew bubble gum.
And I'm all out of Fic and gum, but not cum.
I just hope that doesn't
happen. Oh, no, bubble gum.
That's the episode title right there.
Oh, no, bubble gum.
It's like the porn version of Powerpuff Girls episode title.
Oh, the bubblegum boys. Yep.
God damn it.
So bubblegum instead
your
of buttercup.
Betty the cat. That good. At least I know where Betty will be if anything happens. I sat down and waited for the next couple of days. I went fishing, feed his frog, ate, and went to bed. On the day of the tidal, I took Froggy with me on the boat and brought some food with him. On the day of the tidal, we were out in the middle of the lake. I was feeding Froggy.
No, that's correct. We were.
I can't. I'm going to say it wrong because fuck it. Because fuck him for making me look at this word and think it's spelled wrong when it's spelled properly. You can suck a dick. I was feeding Froggy at the time, and the tidal wave was coming towards us. Fuck you.
Fuck this Fic. Fuck podcasts.
So,
fuck Sonic.
We're out.
I've gone full bore. I'm drinking just straight bourbon. Nope.
Roy, you're next. Well, Connor drinks himself into oblivion.
No.
No, you said it right the first time.
No. Why did you bring me into this poisonous land?
Oh, I have a lot of paragraphs. I should do it as...
So basically, Cyril, whenever you pull up this document, you just hear that whispering whenever Frodo's about to put the ring on.
And look, Tony, I know you don't like this, but let's face it.
This is the fan fiction we need, not the one we deserve.
No, I don't think it's either.
I definitely don't think it's either.
Where are they?
Can you please read this normal and not David it up?
I put Froggy back in his home and began to paddle away as fast as possible.
A lot faster than how you're fucking talking.
We were no match for the tidal, and it pushed us with it. I managed to stay in the boat, but Froggy fell out.
No, no,
The next thing I remembered... You were not going to want to interrupt me that much. The next thing I remembered after that is I landed on this island.
Really?
And the boat was stuck in the sand. I looked around the whole island for a couple of days to see if I could find Froggy.
Seems a little unnecessary to
if
me.
If I could find Froggy...
But he was nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
I began digging the boat out the next day.
That was the day
I spent a good 3 hours digging the boat out of the sand.
Also, such a long this fucking chapter. Time.
After I got the boat out of the ground, I found my fishing stuff. Fishing stuff that was buried underneath the boat.
Also known as a fish steer!
I picked it all up and was still in good condition.
That meant he couldn't sell it on eBay!
After moving all that out of the way, I began to dig farther into the sand. Many hours, I found Froggy still in his home.
He was the best Chrono Trigger character!
That night, I made a fire and began
to dig Froggy on the stone. Did he give up?
No, keep going. I'll wait as long as it takes.
Every time I see the word
just,
fire.
In all honesty, I'm literally crying in laughter right now.
Every time I see the word fire, I'm just gonna think of
at night I made a fire and ate the frog. Bit of
fire!
So he's eating the frog in here.
With the fire!
Let's let him actually freaking read. This is...
We're only in the third paragraph. I have more to go.
You are the worst schoolmarm, Professor Roy.
That night I made a fire and began to feed Froggy his food because he didn't eat for a while. I let him out of his home and gave him some food. He always goes back into his home, but this time he didn't. Froggy began to hop away from me, so I tried to catch him. I tried a couple of times before he hopped into the river, and then I played a really terrible fishing minigame to get him back. I went to the boat and put it into the water. I looked around to see if I could see which way Froggy went, but I lost sight of him.
That is one of the most annoying things in the English language. Whenever I see somebody saying, see if I could see. Like, that is beyond redundant.
I want to see if I can see. Uh-oh, my mouse stopped moving.
That's what you get!
I sailed around in this river for a while, but couldn't find him, and there was nothing there at all. I just happened to see you guys off in the distance and sailed towards you two. Screensavers activated. That is how I met you two on that hill, says Big.
Holy shit.
Thanks for telling us how you met us and how you saved our lives,
says Tails.
Thanks. No, wait, there's a freaking quotation mark.
Did you just get your mind blown?
Whoa.
Boom.
Okay, continue. I needed that moment because there's
thanks
no beginning
you very
quotation
much,
mark.
Says Chuck. No, there was. It was many paragraphs up.
Oh.
It was in the previous chapter.
Thanks you very much. Boom, says Chuck.
I hate you.
I didn't have another moment in this boat by myself because I was starting to go a little crazy with no one to talk to,
says Big. The group let the character drift in the water for the rest of the day to see if they could find Big's frog.
See, I read it as le boat.
Le boat.
Le boat.
They let the boat drift on the water for the rest of the day.
I don't know.
Thank you, Count Dracula.
With no avail, and the sky was beginning to turn dark, they decided to rest on the nearby land that they found.
I want to suck your cum.
Once they
obviously stop that. That is really kind of scary. The way you say that is not happy for the face.
Once they got out of the boat, they fell onto the sand and fell asleep. During the night, while the group was asleep, the ground began to shake and the land started to move. The group didn't wake up
while the land drifts down the river on their way to Pouncefield. What body
plot
of
plot device?
What massive
GSX.
Land that just an earthquake makes it suddenly become a floating. Oh, maybe it's the floating island that's not floating
actually,
anymore.
Actually, Val, I think in this case it's a deuce X because this entire thing is like dropping a giant deuce.
I could figure out 2 hours I could spend better time as.
Everything? Or a Deus Ex?
Or deucing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that whatever I produced, spending 2 hours on the toilet would be better than this.
All right. The next morning, the group wakes up from their nice, relaxing rest they had. They get up and notice a city right in front of them. I wonder how they got there. And these are some people, when they see a city right in front of them, they get off the island and it rises up from the river. A head appears with a hungry look at its face and its mouth open with drool coming down. Drool, not drool. I don't write this shit, I just read what's given to me and put in front of me. They stood there for a sec and then they begin to run while the face comes towards them.
It's pronounced
drool.
Look
at them go. They stood there for a second. And then they begin to run while the face comes towards them. And look at them go. They're past the 20 yard, past 10 yards. And there it is. There's touchdown. It's
I believe in you. I thought you were going to carry that Tails and that Chuck right over the fucking goal line. And you did it. You did it, man.
And they're not even done yet. Big's foot gets stuck on a branch and trips onto the rocks.
Oh,
the
what a pratfall.
Just look back in time to see Big getting eaten whole by this massive creature. Say bye-bye to Big. He's going to be sidelined for the rest of the game at least.
Yay.
You know, XXXXX 666 XXXXXX.
If you
ask me, that is a fitting end to Big's tremendous season.
Now going over to the one commentator who can speak competent English. Cyril.
Now let me talk about my new turducken I've
prepared. Now, you see, the way you start, I have sampled this and take a big, you put it inside of a giant creature.
Paul Adine, please stop.
We've lost a friend and a comrade, says Taleswell crying. Yes, we have, but he was a little slow, says Chuck, while crying, echoing the entire opinion of the Sonic fandom when Big came on the scene. Let's go tell his friend. If we find him, says Tails, we will. If we find him, let's head there now, says Chuck.
Why should they even care?
Okay, let's go, says Tails. The two of them walk away very quickly, and they hope this creature doesn't notice them. Parenthetical.
Office note.
I like to take this time out and tell you this one thing. I really don't like Big the Cat. He's the worst character Sega ever came up with. I also hated doing the fishing in Sonic Adventure 1. I'm going to be making a video eventually about everything that wrong with the Sonic series. Now,
everything that wrong.
They manage to find a hotel. After a couple of hours of exploring the city, they get to the hotel and they start walking up to it when it blows up. They are pushed back off their feet and blood begins to rain from the sky.
Dude, that's metal voice.
Hey, oh, yeah. That does require that interlude. Excuse me. They are pushed back off their feet and blood begins to rain from the sky. They get on their feet as quickly as possible. Yes, that's true. Just blood. Just lots and lots of blood. Clearly, this is anime physics. They get to their feet as quickly as possible and run for shelter. They managed to find some close by, but this time they got there, they were covered in blood. They're... goes only one lead. There goes out. Oh, fuck. There goes our only one lead. What do we do now?
Our only lead.
By Moonminded.
No, but if Sonic here, we could find him. Considering what time it is, he should be at the school right now. Let's go, says Tails. They get to the school and don't see Sonic or Sally there, and none of the students know where they are. They begin to walk away from the school and they get hit from behind with a metal pipe. What?
Makes sense.
Talk about violence.
They get knocked out and fall onto the pavement. They begin to wake up a couple hours later in a dark room, and they have no idea where they are.
Hello. I'm glad to see you two awake.
Oh, can you do this as that dude from Saw?
Hello.
I think this is that the right voice? I haven't seen that in a while.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm glad to see you two awake.
Hello, Tails. Would you like to play a game?
Yes.
You two are here as my special guest, and you're not going to leave, says the person.
Says Tails with a headache.
If you stop talking like that, it would have a headache.
I can't answer that. And your guest on honor will be arriving shortly. I'm not telling you that either.
What? What is he not telling him?
Exactly.
Your host will be here tomorrow. I'm just going to leave you two alone for now,
says the person.
The person opens the door and closes it right behind them. The footsteps could be heard, like the animals, outside. Tails and Chuck look at each other with tears in their eyes. A gas comes into the room through the vents and they try to hold their breath, but it doesn't work. The two couldn't hold their breath any longer and they begin to paint.
Oh, you know what, guys? If we're going to die, this room needs to have some flowers on the wall.
Girl, look. Look, the yellow, the Jean going on in this room. Nah, not gonna do it. It's gotta be like the dark blue, maybe with some pink highlight.
But wait a minute. Yeah. You say dark blue, I'm saying cyan.
Today on Renovation Wars.
I've been watching a lot of HGTV. They begin to breathe in the gas and begin to close their eyes slowly. After one last look at each other, their eyes fully close. The person walks down the hall and into the host's room. The room is dark with a little light shining.
Oh, that's shitting?
I got the shitting.
The room was dark shining. With a little light shining. No, it says shitting. S-H-I-N-N-I-N-G. In through the windows. And dear God.
That's it. You're done.
I'm going to be really done after this bourbon.
Val, it's your turn and Godspeed.
Hello there. Have you completed what I've asked of you? Asked those. Yes, they're in the room and have been taken care of, says the person.
Taken care of.
I got to tell you, at first the pain hurt. But now I feel like I'm one.
You won't be able to live without it after long.
It's like crack.
It hurts so good. hurt me more, snake.
Good, I shall see them tomorrow, and then everything will be explained to them then. Yes, till tomorrow, and do you want me to meet you here? Asked the person. No, there are no need. I'm going to see them myself, and if there are any problem, I'll call you, says the host. Okay, I shall leave you in hopes everything goes well, says the person. Bye, says the host. Bye, says the person.
A common screenwriting thing for movies is that you never have characters say hello or bye, and that kind of translates to
everything
word as well.
Real life? Because I don't think I've ever said bye to somebody. I'm usually like, see ya, or hey, talk to you later, and we leave. The only time I say bye is on the phone.
Just the general like. No, I mean like. I mean like. Any words.
Yeah, you don't farewell in movies.
Oh, they really? Shouldn't.
Yeah, if you like, it's kind of a trope because like you, it's wasting.
Wasting
screen space time on the script.
Yeah, just like this conversation. Continue, Val.
No, I feel like this conversation has merit. We should go on for another 20 minutes.
So everything can be explained to everyone then, you know.
We explain everyone the things. And
I was just going to start clear. I was just going to start reading from Small Gods.
God. All right.
I would be okay with that. That book's amazing.
The person opens the door and heads outside. The person walks home and wants to relax after the long day. The person has a grin on their face the entire night before they went to bed.
The person.
That guy.
The dude.
Fuck that person.
Dude. Saturday. The host wakes up and gets ready to go see the guests that are waiting there. After having breakfast, the person walks out the door and heads to work. The person gets to work and puts some stuff in the office there. That is so descriptive. The person walks up to the door where the guests are being held and opens the door. To be continued. Are they
Shit, we got through three.
Yeah. And oh my god, like that. This is the this is the author's attempt at cliffhangers.
Suspense, yeah.
Yeah, suspense. Are they really dead? Who this person, and is it the same one in chapter 6? Who the host that wants to see them? There's still much to answer, but so much of the school year left. I hope you all like this chapter, and please post your comments on what you think so far. Also, do you guys slash girl want anything particular in this story? I'll try to add in it in the best I can. I decided to take the
21st... I want you to start over from the beginning.
No, you know what I really want? Mashed potatoes. I think the story would just be better with really detailed description of mashed potatoes.
Oh,
you know they would end up fucking mashed potatoes, though.
I decided to take the 24 stuff out and I'm saving it for later. If I put it in this chapter, I would have gave away the whole plot and I didn't want to do that.
Wait, is Jack Bauer showing up?
So this is also crossed with 24.
Oh, I need to update the spreadsheet. I think they're referring to like the torture and death.
Yeah, either crossed with it or like yeah, the kind of general way that 24 plays out.
What the fuck?
Be right back. I'm gonna go gouge my eyes out.
Oh man.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say.
Are you talking about the muscle Sonic right there?
Schlick.
Man, that is some detailed penis.
Got
a
schlick.
I mean, I just can't get over how. It never, ever looks like that.
Yes.
Simo, do we have time enough to do another round or anything? That should be it.
It's 20 minutes. I don't think we have enough time to do another round. But if anybody wants to do a third chapter, I will not object to them volunteering.
I mean, I've got bourbon left.
So Tony and Cyril and Beth, do you want one?
Sure, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
So Tony, you go first. I'm going to find more depressing stuff to look at.
Oh, God. All right. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, chapter 8.
Wow.
The following took place during chapter 6 and afterwards.
New characters, fuck yeah!
Oh, it's afterwards. No, these characters were introduced in one of the many pages of chapter 5 when they went to the mall and Edward was like, hey, here's all of my original character friends.
Oh.
They're all terrible.
So any voice requests, I can, any affectations.
Just go with what your heart says.
You got it.
Straight and narrow.
Or straight and...
Tommy and Ralph are at the schoolyard teaching each other some new fighting techniques.
That's correct.
After a couple of hours of training, they decided to have a sparring match to see how much they have improved over the couple hours of training.
You don't improve over hours.
You are if you're awesome.
They both practiced the moves they learned on each other, and they were using their full strength. The sparring session went on for 30 minutes.
Is this
After that, they left the bowling alley.
Thanks for the training and the spare session, says Tommy.
Dramatic pause.
You too. Let's go back to my place, says Ralph. All right, ooh, let's go, says Tommy. Mm.
They're gonna fuck.
What a conversation.
Mm.
The two of them head out to the schoolyard, out of the schoolyard, and head back to Ralph's place. After a 30-minute walk there, they see Rodriguez and Scott running in the opposite direction of them and decided to follow them. Logic, ladies and gentlemen. They both thought it was odd. Scott was with Rodriguez, the school bully. They stand outside of the building and overhear what's going on inside, but decide not to interfere for the time being until they absolutely have to, i.e. when the plot demands it. Ralph puts his back onto the building and leans against it. They overhear this person just about to reveal who they are, and the wall gives out that Ralph's leaning against and makes a loud crashing noise.
What?
The person puts their foot back on and turns the lights back off. Are you fucking kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, you two, you've ruined everything, says the person. The person. The person, the person. Person, the person, the person, the person, the person, the person.
His
name was Person. We just want our friends back, and won't cause you any harm, says Tommy. Especially since apparently all we do is knock down walls by leaning against them, because we're too cool. 90s! It's too late for that now because you two have stumbled onto something bigger than you can comprehend, says the person. The person sets some dynamite all over the building and walks out the back door.
Like, is he the Flash? Just...
What?
Go ahead. Let's go.
Where are you? Asks Ralph.
Glad we started.
You got 5 minutes before the place blows up, so say your prayers. We just knocked a fucking wall down. Really? There's a giant gaping hole. It used to be a wall.
Don't say giant gaping hole.
Too bad. Too late.
The lights go back and they could see the dynamite covering the place and it on a countdown. They see all their friends tied up in chains and Rodriguez on the floor. Nova was still out cold. Krez and Scott were sweating nervously because they don't want to die like this. Holy fuck. They spelled it. Wait a minute.
Wow.
Okay, that's right, because Rodriguez and Scott and the thing, and this took place during, got it.
Yeah, it's afterwards.
Afterwards. All of those words, all of the words. I'll get Rodriguez, says Tommy frantically. Asterisk, 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 six, 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 asterisk, right, asterisk. Next.
Good Beth. Thing. Oh, never mind.
Cyril, I'm saving you for last.
Oh, fine.
Good thing I brought Sadidar with me, or I would never be able to free them, says Ralph, as he pulls out a sword and runs toward them. After 4 minutes and 30 seconds, Ralph get all the chains cut.
Chains with a sword.
Scott picks up Nova and they all run for the door. Tommy lying there on the ground, exhausted next to Rodriguez. The rest of them look at him and take one last look at the building just in time to see it blow up. They were knocked off their feet and land near Tommy and Rodriguez. After a couple of minutes, the group gets up and Rodriguez is laying on the floor. Nova wakes up and get to her feet. Who was that person in there? Asks Tommy. It was my sister, but I thought she died 5 years ago. I even went to the funeral and said my final goodbyes to her.
There was
a body in the casket and everything.
See, because she was a robot, so she just turned herself off and was able to reactivate herself 10 minutes later.
I loved her, and she's going way too far and must be stopped, says Krez while crying.
10 minutes.
Your sister! Says the rest of them. Yes, her name is Valerie Caravan.
No!
Not me!
And is my twin sister. Twins, says the group, and their eyes light up. We should go see Sonic and all. They're at the master's place because your house is destroyed, says Scott. Let's go, says Krez. What about Rodriguez, asks Ralph. Leave him, he got what he deserved, and a piece of his own medicine, says Nova.
A piece?
Sounds
not
good.
The whole thing?
And he sure got what's coming to him, says Krez. The group begins to walk away from Rodriguez, and Scott takes one last look at him. Rodriguez's eyes begin to open, and he begins to cough blood. Whoa. Scott runs back to Rodriguez to see if he was okay, and notices the blood on his face.
No, there's no the.
Blood on face, fuck. Does anyone have a phone on them? Asks Scott.
Says no. Scott.
Fuck.
just let it happen.
You know what?
No, I get to
we are so much better
You're so much better now that there are fucking quotations. There's fucking quotation marks!
I know. I at least can, like, comprehend half of the sentence I'm reading.
It only took
not realizing it's somebody talking until at the end of the sentence.
Not only that, but he started doing, like, the fact that every new speaker is a separate paragraph.
I know. Yeah. Does anyone have a phone on them, says Scott? No, says the group in unison. Why, asks Rez. He's coughing up blood and his ribs might be broken, says Scott.
Of course, he woke up, so his ribs are broken.
Oh shit, we don't want to kill him. We just want to teach
him
a lesson,
back
says
to sleep.
Tommy. Ralph looks around and notices a payphone and runs up to it. He picks up the phone and there are no dial tone. Shit, says Ralph as he punches the phone his hardest. The dial tone comes back on the phone and Ralph immediately dials 911.
And then realizes he broke his wrist.
Hello, 911, what your emergency? Asks the operator so quickly that he couldn't even use all the words in that sentence. Hello, we have a student with us and he's hurt badly. He has broken ribs and he's coughing up blood. Someone should get here soon because he needs seriously help.
Seriously? Says,
he needs seriously help.
Like, seriously? I mean, like, if you guys could get down here, that would be like...
That's super serial, guys. He needs help.
Mumber Peg attacked him.
I mean, seriously, you guys gotta go fast. I mean, come on.
That's not how you respond to it. That's shall not how you be there shortly, and we have the phone trace. There, be there in 10 minutes, says the operator.
Is that really how phoning emergency services works in America?
There, be there.
Actually, yes. I got in an accident once, and I called 911 to be like, yo, I got in a pretty bad accident, and I need, like, a cop. And they're like, yeah, we know what happened. They'll be there soon. I'm like, the fuck?
And go. Wait, you don't, yeah, but like, because like when I call emergency services here, it just immediately say police, fire, or ambulance, I think.
Yeah, no, they just know. My turn. Ralph hangs up the phone and tells the group that someone will be there shortly and they might want to ask us questions. What happened to your quotation marks, dude? We can't stay here or who knows what will happen? Asks Krez.
Yeah, considering all this weird stuff, I don't know who to trust anymore, says Tommy.
What about that Sonic fellow? He seems to know what's going on. Does anyone know where he lives? Ask
him. No, he doesn't.
No!
Says the group.
I think Edward or Loa will know because he was hanging out with them. He also
they just said earlier in the page, we should go see Sonic and all there at the Master's place.
Oh, right.
Fucking Christ.
He also stayed at Edward House for over a week, says Ralph.
All right, let's head there.
I know, he's forgetting all the apostrophe S's again. He's regressing.
The sun begins to rise and sirens could be heard animals off in the distance. The group runs for it and hides behind a building because the police will think they did this. They manage to hide from the cops and ambulance. They manage to hide from the cops and ambulance while they are taken to Rodriguez away. After 10 minutes, the ambulance and the cops drive away in a hurry to the hospital. The group heads over to Edward's house after the cost is clear.
It's going to be $45, you guys. Are we clear on that?
Damn it, I told you we should have taken a freeway. God.
Toll
roads are faster.
But wait, no. They managed to get there after a 45-minute walk. So 45-minute walks, to be clear.
They had to take a break in between every single one.
It's because Lex Luthor was in charge of the group and he had to fill in 40 cases.
They head up to the door and inside of the house was completely dark. They didn't want to wake the whole house up and they looked on the ground for a small pebble. Scott finds one and throws it at Edward's window. After a couple of minutes, the light doesn't go on and Ralph has a handful of pebbles.
All right,
it's gonna be exactly like that fucking Animal House. It's gonna be like that bum pop from Animal House. He's just gonna break the window.
Everyone takes two pebbles out of Ralph's hands. They all throw the pebbles at Edward's window and they make a slight crack in the frame.
Yep.
After a couple of minutes, a light comes on and someone comes closer to the window. Edna shows her head and is surprised at how many people want her.
I've never had a gangbang. Before this year.
What?
I don't know. This begins to make her all...
What?
I was kidding!
What?
I was doing a sidebar!
Cyril, you brought this on.
You prophesized it.
You put this in the fucking world. You must be punished.
I'm drinking more.
I finished more than half this bottle of wine.
This begins to make her all wet, and one of her hands slides down to begin playing with herself. Edna notices Tommy there and decides to stop. Like, fuck Tommy. I'm dry now. Tommy sucks. Edna slides open the window and yawns while looking like she's half asleep. It's 6:15 in the morning. What do you all want? We also what have school want? Today.
Says Edna,
with her eyes barely open. She was brewing beer.
Is Edward the eye beer?
Oh, she cries beer.
She's my new best friend.
Definitely. I don't care how much she touches herself and then stops when guys named Tommy are around. She's my friend because of beer cry.
Crying beers.
Is Edward there? Asks Craig's.
Craig's? No. It's Krez's.
Shut up, Steve. Is Edward there? Asks Krez. No. No. He's at Laura's and Tommy. Do you want... Wait.
He's at Laura's and Tommy. You want to come in?
As Edna, I bet she's asking come in, not just the house.
No. Her vagina is a revolving door at this point.
Thanks, Edna, says Chris. Oh,
that would rip any dick to shreds.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Dick shredder.
It's like one of those levels from Super Meat Boy.
No. That's Dick Puncher 4, the Dick Shredder.
That sounds like that one movie about the killer condom that was like a German movie. I don't know. I'll come in and save you, my princess. I'll see you guys later.
See you, my princess, not save you.
Oh, fuck.
I'll come in and see you, my princess. I'll see you guys later. I'll be with my Edna tonight, wing, says Tommy.
Bye, Tommy. And hope you have fun, says Scott, and gives him a wink.
So, wait. He's figured out how to use quotation marks. He hasn't figured out how to spell the word later.
No, it's really hard. I want to read because there's only two more sections of this chapter. So
fine.
The group waves goodbye to... Well, we still got time. The group waves goodbye to Tommy while he enters the house and heads up to Edna's room. The rest of them leave and head over to Laura's house.
It doesn't look right because it doesn't say Edna room.
I know. We should edit this so it's spelled correctly.
Find all instances of apostrophe S and delete them.
After 20 minutes, they arrive. After 20 minutes, they arrive, but see no car in the driveway and the light is off in the house. Ralph tries to open the door, but it locks. He also rings the door bell and waits a couple of minutes, but no one answers the door.
Does anybody else think of Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons when they hear this? Or
yes.
That's not Ralph.
No, that's Nelson.
That's Nelson.
Ralph is...
Oh, right.
I found a moon rock in my nose.
This is going to go so well after last time. Scott picks up some pebbles and makes sure it's the right window this time and throws them at the window. After a couple of minutes, a light doesn't come on and everyone wonders where they are. They decide to call it a night and try to get at least a little bit of sleep before school starts in 3 hours. They all go their separate ways at home. They all arrive at school and sees Tommy with a smile on his face and they realize what happened when they left. They were also quite tired from last night's events. The first part of the morning went quite slow, and it just seemed to go on forever. School, am I right? The lunch bell rang, and they walked to the cafe, trying to stay awake. They fail, and they fall asleep and get in everyone's way. They get in there and see Edward and Laura sitting at a table with their lunch, staring into each other's eyes. After they went and got their lunch, they sat with Edward and Laura.
Can I just interject for a moment and say there have been moments where I've gotten to work in the past couple of weeks, and I haven't remembered what I'm supposed to be doing, but I remember this shit. This stuff is pushing out valuable knowledge from my brain.
I'm trying to use alcohol to prevent this from happening, but clearly it doesn't work. So I'm
just pours in like a parasite.
Is this how the aliens take over?
Yes. Like search for love? This is exactly how the terrorists win.
Hi, how it going? Asks Scott.
Not bad. We were at Laura's house last night, says Edward. We came by, but no one was there, says Krez.
We were there, but we were camping out in the backyard. That's why you didn't see us,
says Laura, who somehow sounds a little like Strong Sad.
Oh, that explains a lot, and we should have looked in the backyard, but it didn't cross our minds, says Ralph.
Do you know where Sonic, Irina, and the Master are today? Asks Scott.
I'm getting accents confused.
No idea, but I can show you where they live, says Laura sad.
Thanks, let's go after school to their place, because we have to talk to them. It's really important, says Krez.
All right, meet me at the flagpole after school, over, says Laura sad.
I'm gonna try and fit it in, mate.
All right, says the group. We are Legion.
They ate the rest of their lunch in quiet and were all waiting for the school day to end. The last two classes seemed to drag on from their important meeting with them. From their important meeting with them. I'm not understanding what that's saying. The last two classes seemed to drag on from their important meeting with them, but the time wouldn't go by any quicker. It just makes no sense. The final bell rang at 3:30, and they all grabbed their stuff and headed towards the flagpole. After a couple of minutes, all of them show up and head off to see Sonic and all. After a 15-minute walk, they get to the master's place and knock on the door. No one answers the door, and Ralph tries to open the door and finds it unlocked. They head into his apartment and sees that the whole place trashed. There are a note on the fridge, and they all take a look at XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX
Hello, my friends. I'm currently out doing some investigating on all the strange things that have happened over the past couple of days, and I'll be back on Monday to let you know what
happened. Monday.
Don't worry about us. We will see you soon. From Sonic. Not good. They're doing some investigating, but I don't think that his handwriting. But I'm not sure, though. I also think we should stay here this weekend and clean up a little before they get back, says Scott. Group? Agreed, says the group. Thanks for leaving me hanging there. They look out of window to blood, smoke, rubble on the ground where a building used to be.
Why would anyone live in this town?
They opened wide and hope that it doesn't happen to this place. They clean up the place. They cleaned the place up the rest of the day and called all their parents to let them know where they were. Over the next couple of days, they were trying to find out what has happened and who was behind all this. They went to bed Sunday night in knowing that they would be back tomorrow, Monday.
Monday!
The group wakes up and makes themselves some breakfast. And their nerves are at ease.
Oh, is that you, King Candy?
Why, hello! They cleaned up and are getting ready for school. They were all just about to head out, but they could hear some talking on the other side.
I don't know about you guys, but this voice is Tony-tastic. Tony-tony-tastic.
Tony-tastic! They run and hide behind the couch just in time for the door to start opening. The door burst open, and a couple of people were standing there. To be continued!
I hate you and what you did to that one glitchy girl.
By the way, if anyone trying to figure out what my thing is from, it's from the new Linkin Park CD and the song called Leave Out All the Breath.
Leave Out All the Breast.
Yeah, bro.
So that dates this to 2000.
I would like to thank Tony, Beth, Cyril, Roy, and Val, and myself for reading.
I'm going to see you in a week, Steve.
I'd like to thank David and Logan for completely bailing. I'd like to thank everybody else for listening. I'd like to thank Mother Nature for fermenting all fruits and vegetables into alcohol.
Hey guys, don't worry. We've only got 15 pages of the whole story left.
God.
And I would like to thank whoever thought of the idea of putting said fermenting things in barrels to give them a smoky flavor.
Roy, I hate to quote Metallica for anything, but nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters.
Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight.
Look, we're going to next episode. We're going to try
and
so
finish this
and get so far. And in the end, it's going to matter.
And in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Leave out all the breast.
No, this is going to be great. We're going to do Linkin Park. It's presented by King Candy.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Level 99, Fanfic Nation. Level 99, Rolling Thunder, aka Fasto's Adventure Theme. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.